And where does God fit into this concept of the universe, in this cosmos that you've created? Is the Force God?
I put the Force into the movies in order to try to awaken a certain kind of spirituality in young people. More a belief in God than a belief in any particular religious system. I mean, the real question is to ask the question. Because if you haven't enough interest in the mysteries of life to ask the questions, is there a God or is there not a God? That's for me, the worst thing that can happen. You know, if you ask a young person, is there a God? And they say, I don't know. You know, I think you should have an opinion about that.
Do you have an opinion or are you looking?
Well, I think there is a God. No question. What that God is or what we know about that God, I'm not sure.
Welcome, everyone, from across the universe to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Star Wars is for everyone, so pull up a chair, get comfortable, and join the conversation with your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast, part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. This is episode number 548, My Life with the Jedi. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Yoda and Qui-Gon Jinn to my Obi-Wan Kenobi, we have Carl LeClaire and Eric Clayton.
Eric, welcome to the show. I offer it up to you whether you want to go with Yoda or Qui-Gon as your spirit Jedi today.
Oh, man, I mean, I would probably choose Qui-Gon, honestly.
Valid.
Aside from getting, like, cut in half. I mean, that guy was awesome. Gone too soon. Gone too soon.
100%.
Oh, man. Eric, we're so excited to have you on the show to discuss your new book that just came out this past week, My Life with the Jedi. We have, man, so much great stuff we want to ask you and talk through about this book without spoiling anything, because folks, if you're listening, cannot recommend checking out this book enough. But before we dive into our conversation here, just want to let folks know right out the gate that this will be a conversation specifically around Star Wars and spirituality, most specifically Christian spirituality. So if that's not your thing, if you're not interested in conversations around that, certainly feel free to check out another episode or come back at another time. But we just wanted to be upfront about that right out the gate here to let y'all know that that is the sort of conversation we're going to be having. If that's not your cup of tea, certainly no offense at all. But for those of you that are excited for that conversation, we're very excited to have this conversation with you, Eric. So
thanks. I'm excited too.
So, Eric, when we have a new guest on, our favorite thing to do, of course, is ask them a couple of just standard fair Star Wars fan questions to give folks an opportunity to get to know you a little bit more as a Star Wars fan. And of course, my favorite question of all is, what is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Yeah, I feel like I should have a better answer for this than I do. But I love Empire, right? I feel like you have to love Empire. I love Empire because it's gritty. I love The Last Jedi because I like the depiction of old man Luke. I like this idea. I think it's like very spiritual, and I like this idea of what if everything you worked for fails. I think that's like a great question. But I like Rogue One because the stakes are the highest they can be. And so I hope this isn't a bad omen for our conversation, since I took your question and I did not answer it correctly. But I think it kind of goes back and forth. I really like, I mean, probably Rogue One, if push comes to shove, that's like of the whole movie, that one's probably my favorite.
Awesome.
Well, that's fantastic. There's no wrong way to answer that question.
Right.
Star Wars is subjective to all of us. And these are the questions that Carl asked me when we first met. And my answers are part of why we're doing the podcast now. So,
wow, there you go. All right, well, geez, now if I'm invited back, I'll know I answered correctly. And if I'm never invited back again,
no,
I'll know.
No.
The next one, the follow-up one that we have to all of this is who is your favorite Star Wars character? which, you know, is such a much easier question, right?
And, well, yeah, it's fewer options, right? Right. You know, I feel like the easiest answer, but also true. I Obi-Wan Kenobi. I really like Kenobi. I like that character's arc, and I really like what the TV show did to connect our, like, you know, swashbuckling hero of the Clone Wars and our, like, mystic desert recluse. I feel like we really saw the necessary arc that was missing, and I think I like him all the more for it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and then and you mentioned before we hit record that you even have a stained glass window of Mr. Kenobi.
Yes. Courtesy of my brother. Saint Kenobi. Saint Ben. Yeah, my brother, he empowers my collective obsessions. So, yes.
It's good. Good. You always got to have someone in your family who feeds it.
yeah, thank God for him.
and one last question to round out your Star Wars fandom. Jason and I both love Star Wars music and talking about Star Wars music. So we also love to ask, what is your favorite piece of Star Wars music?
Oh man, that's a great question. I don't know, man. I there are a lot of things, like different moods. Like, I mean, like Duel of the Fates, right, is like iconic. I really like the battle. Was it Battle of the Heroes in Revenge of the Sith? I just remember listening to that on repeat when I was, I don't know what grade I would have been in. I think it was like freshman, sophomore, somewhere in there, in high school. And I loved that. I feel like the stuff with the Bad Batch is really good right now. And in Ahsoka, like when the theme went out, the Ahsoka theme, was it the Kiner?
Yep.
Right? Kevin Kiner. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really good. Really good stuff. I feel like Star Wars is one of the first things I learned to play on the piano and one of the few things I still can play on the piano. And so I like the theme, right? So, great question though. I'm also thinking I have, maybe anyone out there who wants to complete my set, I have A New Hope and I have, Empire on vinyl, and I'm just like looking for the, Return of the Jedi vinyl that I can add to my complete my collection.
Nice. Yeah, I love
Carl's a vinyl soundtrack collector.
Yeah,
too.
I have everything released on vinyl for Star Wars except Revenge of the Sith. I got the Mandalorian, I've got the Clone Wars, I've got all the stuff, but the Revenge of the Sith is the one I'm still hunting for, and I can certainly find it, but not for under $200, and I'm just not spending $200 on it.
Oh no, so. I want to like stumble into it. That's how I acquired these. Okay, the two cool. I have, like one was like a fan, like my dad had it, and then. A buddy at work gave me his Empire one or something, nice. Maybe reverse. So I just like, I like the kind of cool stumbling into the,
Yeah.
It's part of the collecting adventure, isn't it?
Yeah. Gotta catch them all, you know, gotta catch them all. I've said it once.
Oh man. Well, Eric, we wanted to obviously, right. We're having you on here to discuss this book of yours, My Life with the Jedi. So if you had to kind of give it a short synopsis, what is this book really about? I figure it's better coming from you than from me.
I mean, I would be interested to hear what you think it's about as a reader. But, you know, so for me, let's see, there's a couple ways at this question. But inherent in this book, right, I do a lot in Ignatian spirituality, right, which is the Ignatian tradition kind of comes out of this Catholic saint, mystic, Ignatius of Loyola. And that tradition is grounded in two things that are really kind of pivotal, that the holy is in all things, right? God is in all things, and can be experienced through all things, and that there is this constant invitation to discern between forces of light and forces of dark. You know, the enemy of our human nature, you know, what kind of tempts us or kind of draws us towards darkness, and what kind of draws us to the light. And I think that in a lot of ways is what Star Wars, the story of Star Wars, the underpinning, right? The force, you know, what's that great thing Obi-Wan says at the beginning? You know, it's a mystical energy field that connects all things, that binds us together. Maybe Yoda says that, one of those. This idea that
it's Obi-Wan. You're right.
Thank you. All right. Yes. Nailed it. But this idea, right, that the holy, this energy is in everything, in us, in the rock, in the spaceship. And then also that we're called to discern between these two forces of light and dark. You know, do we want to lean towards the Jedi, or do we want to succumb to the dark side and wind up, you know, more machine than human? And so that I think that that's how I think you said what's the short synopsis. So I think I've blown past my time, but I'm interested in those questions. Like, how do we use these stories that we love? Right. I mean, the three of us obviously love Star Wars.
Yes.
And everybody like has stories they love. Like I say, like, all right, you don't like Star Wars. That's fine. We can still be friends. But what stories do you like? Mm-hmm. And you like them because they're resonating with you. They're hitting some sort of a chord in your own life, in your own context, your own experience. There's something holy and spiritual to be grappled with, I think, in every story, if we can sink into it and allow the story to speak to us. And I think Star Wars jumps off the page in a lot of ways. I think it was designed that way, right? Intentionally vague in the spiritual area, but very full, so that you could really bring your own meaning to it. And I think that's something that, I always quote that from Chris Taylor's book, How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, the idea of bring your own meaning, your own layers mm-hmm. of meaning. I think that's my other hope in this book is an invitation for folks to, hey, like, you know, you're not a Christian or Ignatian spirituality isn't your thing. That's cool. Like, let's bring it into dialogue. You know, what is your tradition or background? And you know, we can bounce ideas off of mine. You know, I think it's the best kind of dialogue, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
It's so cool. I did an event at the college I work at, just this past fall, around Star Wars and spirituality. And nice. I opened the event by essentially quoting Ignatius, right? And his famous quote of, you know, we can find God in all things. And ever since I first learned that back in 2005 as a freshman in undergrad, you know, it's informed so much of who I am as a person, especially my spiritual life. And I opened it by telling students quite bluntly, like, you know, the stories that drive us, the stories that give us a sense of purpose and meaning, there's the divine working through that, right? There's something beyond speaking to this deeper part of ourselves. And that was kind of my caveat of opening this event of, you know, these are entertainment stories. And also they are stories with tremendous depth and meaning, that shape people and shape their lives. And I'm really excited in April. So in a month, I'm going to actually guest lecture a class and talking about how Star Wars acts as a pop religion. So I'm nice. Really excited to do that. So this, yeah, when I saw your book, just I had no idea about it until I saw it on a page and I was like, holy crap. Not only is this like spirituality in Star Wars, but it's Ignatian spirituality in Star Wars. Like, this is so great.
You fit right into everything Carl loves.
Yeah.
And I heard about it immediately. Like, I heard about the book as soon as Carl found out about it. And I was like, okay, I guess we're going to talk about it. So
I'm glad we're all best friends now. That was so easy. What an easy friendship now that we're together forever.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I think you're right. I think it resonates. It fits in some ways. And something I think about too with stories is like, you know, like what about stories makes us want to tell people like, oh, you gotta watch this TV show. Have you read this book? Like that desire to share with somebody else. Mm. I mean, I don't want to take us off track, but like, I think there's something really profound in that desire to bring someone else into a story mm-hmm. that was meaningful to us. And I don't think that should be taken lightly or ignored.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Well, I mean, heck, that's perfectly encapsulated in the 3PO's bedtime story in Return of the Jedi, right? Like when he's telling the Ewoks the story of the, you know, our heroes up to that point, and then they want to be part of the story, right? It's here's this epic thing that's going on with the people gathered in this room, and then the Ewoks are like, heck yeah, we want to buy into that, you know?
get my stick, my hang glider, I'm ready to go.
Absolutely, 100%. So, out of curiosity, was there a specific moment or when was the first time that you realized you could cross the streams with spirituality and Star Wars?
Great Ghostbusters reference, Jason. I'm proud of you.
I figured you didn't enjoy that, Carl. But yeah, when was the first time you realized that you know, obviously Star Wars has a spirituality to it, but when was the first time you realized you could actually apply it to your faith?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. A couple of thoughts come to mind. One is, I don't know if you guys, I'm going to guess you probably did. Also, great mug. Listeners can't see that, but A plus mug. But do you guys remember those like old, like the philosophy and pop culture series?
Mm, yep.
So that was really, I think I was like, I don't know, seventh grade or something, somewhere around there. And so probably like reading things, I'm like, I don't really understand this. But the idea that the idea that you could comment on pop culture in that way was really striking to me as like a young person. Because I was always into like sci-fi fantasy, you know, writing The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. You know, you guys read Shannara. You remember that series, Terry Brooks? That was very formative for me.
You wrote the Phantom Menace novel. I know that.
Absolutely. That's the guy. Yeah. I love that his stuff. So very formative to me reading and viewing those kinds of things. But then being able to see like, oh, hey, like it's cool to comment. That was significant. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, I was doing a little bit of writing on and off for a couple different venues. But then once I started the job I have now at the Jesuit Conference, the opportunity to write more and more kind of really ramped up. And so, you know, you're pulling from every part of yourself, right? As you're doing spiritual writing, you know, there's a real, need to be authentic and also a need to fill the well. And I think that, you know, naturally, you know, what kind of stories am I going to tell? Well, personal stories, stories about like, you know, not the news, but like, you know, what is factually happening around me. And then stories about stories that are moving me in some way, right? That's kind of my way in. My first book, Cannonball Moments, is all about storytelling and Ignatian spirituality. So that was a kind of an exploration in those two things, thinking about storytelling and Ignatian spirituality as going hand in hand. And then I've been doing the first piece I had published at National Catholic Reporter, NCR, folks know, is about WandaVision and Lent.
My other main love language is WandaVision. Man, Eric.
What a great, it was awesome. It was so good.
So good.
I should have stopped there, honestly. But I wrote that, and it's honestly, I go back and I reread that or some of those things, and it feels clunky because it feels like sometimes it's a little forced. And I think the more you do it, the more you sink into the story and engage with it as a spiritual person, as opposed to observe the story, and try and just like kind of grasp at parallels. I think the better sinking in part is the better route. And I think, again, I've spent way too much time answering your very simple question, but that's kind of like the hero's journey for me, into this. And so I think then, you know, the idea of Star Wars, and I have a bunch of books on like people commenting on Star Wars. And I think one of my favorites, I already mentioned one by Chris Taylor, but one by Cass Sunstein, who's a Harvard professor, his book, The World According to Star Wars. And he has this wonderful chapter where it's like 13 theories to use to look at Star Wars. And, you know, he has Buddhism, he has Christianity, he has one about like, what if the rebels are the villains? And like, all, you know, there's a feminist one, there's a just all these cool things. And I was like, wow, like, any lens, just put any lens, and the lens is part of who we are, right? You put it on, look at it, and what new things emerge from the story. So anyway, sorry, I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I love it. That's man, now I just like want to go to Google to find your WandaVision thing, but we'll go to that later.
It's dated now, although it is Lent, so I mean, it's the right
kind of perfect timing. Yeah. No, that's a really awesome story though, about how you kind of came into that realization. Not to co-opt this and make it about me, but just again, like I'm just hearing so much resonance when I went to Le Moyne College, which is a Jesuit institution in Syracuse, New York. And I remember when I first learned this whole adage around, you know, Ignatian spirituality and finding God and all things, undergrad and college was finally the first opportunity where I had friends who also liked Star Wars. Like all through high school, I had no friends that were into Star Wars. So it was very like, it was a very personal, private thing. So being able to just be geeks and play Battlefront 2, you know, endlessly in our dorm rooms, which thank the Force is coming back next week.
is Battlefront 2 coming? Oh man.
The original Battlefronts, both of them are coming out for PS4 and 5 next week. So,
oh man. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah. You're welcome, Eric.
We'll make a note somewhere.
I just remember like when I graduated from Le Moyne, one of my closest friends gave me like a small Kotobukiya Yoda statue of him just sitting on a stump. And it was kind of like at the end of college where there was this realization of, wow, Star Wars is more than just this fantastic story that I've always enjoyed. It was no longer just the nostalgia trip of like, oh, remember those innocent times of being a kid loving Star Wars. But it was, oh, no, there's something very profound to this story. And it was, you know, through the process of going to college that I learned how to speak about Star Wars in a whole new way. Right. I mean, I think one of the most important things about the college experience is just learning how to articulate yourself. You know, it's not so much about the facts you absorb as it is about being able to articulate things in the world around you. And it just gave me a whole new lens of how to understand Star Wars myself. And
would you say that that part of the Ignatian identity at Lemoyne, helped in that, giving voice to that way of thinking about Star Wars and probably pop culture in general? Was there something particular about the Ignatian charism?
Oh, absolutely. And sorry, we're supposed to be asking you questions, Eric. That's a great question. absolutely. You know, I mean, right. You know, something else tantamount to Ignatian spirituality is the use of imagination. St. Ignatius was really big about using imagination. So, you know, quick little aside about that. So for Ignatius, a way he invited people into prayer was, you know, taking a gospel story and kind of imagining yourself in there, right? Put yourself in there. Who do you identify with? You know, what feelings come up for you? What are you noticing? And what I started noticing is like in my own prayer that I wasn't really using that with the gospel stories. I was using it with Star Wars scenes. Like I just started noticing God showing up on Dagobah or, you know, on Tatooine and, you know, scenes from Star Wars started to become this language through which God got to know me more. Like, right. God chooses to speak our personal languages. I think that's the beauty of the Christian God. So that's really where it started to become tantamount for me is it was more than just like, oh, I can, but you know, not only can I study this and think about it differently, but I can also experience it differently. So I think, you know, that Ignatian milieu really opened me to that possibility.
I think that's my experience too. And it's, I think also that speaks to, because I think sometimes people are understandably hesitant when like, oh, like they're going to try and use Star Wars to, you know, trick me into, you know, converting or like, oh, like Luke Skywalker has to be Jesus or something like that. And I think the way you're describing it and which jives with my experience too, is like, no. It's not a you know, switch and trick kind of thing. It's actually a enter in fully into the story you already enjoy and then see what happens. There's no end game for me. It's a see what, you know, I trust the Holy Spirit enough to let the Holy Spirit do what it's going to do, as opposed to like me be like, all right, surprise, it's Jesus, you know. And I think that's like really, I don't know. I think that can be really helpful. I don't know. Jason, do you have any thoughts on that too? I don't want to like hear your take.
No, I mean, I don't come from a Catholic background, so I don't have anything specific in terms of Ignatian spirituality in that regard. But I glommed onto Star Wars from a very young age. You know, the special editions came out, and my mom says that she watched me in the movie theaters become addicted to it. My dad is a very, you know, spiritual person, and, you know, he, growing up, he was always, you know, trying to help teach us, and, you know, we had Bible reading almost every night, that sort of thing. And in order to get my attention, sometimes he would use Star Wars as illustrations. So because he knew I would get it that way. You know, he wasn't a, you know, he likes Star Wars, but he's not a huge fan. You know, he's not a geek like me. The only thing he geeks out about is the Bible. But he used the Star Wars illustrations in order to get my attention. And one of the ones that I will always, you know, remember is like, he's like, yeah, the prophets of the Old Testament are like the Jedi Order, you know. And that stuck with me forever. And that kind of like blew my mind open. It was like, oh, there is all these parallels and everything that I can start making if I want to. So, that's kind of how the Star Wars and spirituality awakened for me is my dad using it to get my attention for our Bible time at night. So,
yeah, well, it's like, I mean, Carl, like you said, like, it's a language, right? It's like, right, we're speaking a language. Yeah. And I think, as you said, like, you know, God speaks all sorts of languages, and whatever is going to speak most to our own deepest desires. So sorry. All right. Back to you guys. Yeah, I didn't mean to commandeer.
I appreciate the questions too. So
the conversation, it's fun to have these conversations because it also informs, you know, where you're coming from, which informs where the book is coming from and all that sort of thing. So it's all worth it. So
excellent.
You don't have to keep apologizing.
So Eric, I think the one of the many things that really grabbed me, in your book is just your extensive knowledge of Star Wars. And I mean, across all of canon, I mean, your references to all the different novels that have come out in the last few years. I mean, you're referencing the Ahsoka show, which, quick side note, when did you finish writing this? Like,
I had a hustle.
I was going to say, man, like, I feel like, you know, Ahsoka just wrapped and boom, here's this book. But
I was strong arming some editors into letting me write just a few more paragraphs. I was like, we got to make it as relevant as possible. It's got to come on. And they're like, all right, Eric. Unfortunately, I had some really good editors at Loyola Press who also were very passionate about the project. And so when I was like, I really want to get, I think it's important to get this in there. They're like, all right, like this is, you have until this day. Like you got to hustle though. And I did. I remember I was sitting in like airports, like writing about like, you know, Baylan and Shin and that like scene, you know, where all things, you know, begin again or happen again.
So my question around that is, cause again, I mean, it shows not only that you have an extensive knowledge of this galaxy, it also hand in hand with that, it shows your deep love of these stories and you want to continually take them in. So I'm curious, as you were putting this book together, was there anything that surprised you? Like, and maybe like a new take from something in Star Wars itself, or, you know, as you're compiling all these stories and again, you take us from A New Hope to Ahsoka and everything in between. I mean, you even got some great quotes in there from some of the Legends books, which made me so happy. And I also love in the About the Author that it references you playing Rogue Squadron and stuff. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so great.
Thanks for reading About the Author, because I spent some time on that paragraph.
Oh, so good. It was the first thing I read. I was like, this is a delightful person. I can't wait for this book now.
Excellent.
But yeah, like, so as you're writing this, you know, did anything surprise you or come up that you know, thought about in a new way?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is I have a deep reverence for like the expanding canon. Like I really appreciate when it works, like when they're able to, you know, connect the dots between, you know, characters that are showing up in with the Empire's End, that kind of trilogy, Aftermath trilogy, that are showing, you know, showing up in Boba Fett, and like I like the connectivity personally. So I have a reference for that. I really appreciate the authors that put time into writing those novels, and I think that some of the authors do a really nice job of pulling on some threads. Like I haven't read everything. I'll, you know, be honest, and I'm really like comics are a real weak spot in my own canon.
Same, but here. It's too many,
right? I mean, just sometimes like I just hard to. It's like
there's
just,
so many,
there's so many.
Yeah.
But like I remember like Kevin Scott. Wrote some stuff about Yoda. There's just some scenes in the Jedi Lost audiobook, right?
Yeah.
That I remember really like strike me. Like just like, you know, some stuff just strikes you. And the scene where Yoda is telling a much younger Dooku to like suppress, you know, like, oh, like you saw something bad, we're not gonna worry about it. Suppress it as you should. That sends up a lot of red flags on organized religion, right? And so I flagged that just mentally. But then also I just think they've done a really great job with Yoda as a character. And there were some essays written at the time about this too, by other folks that like you have this, you know, he's not just this like wizened old figure who has all the answers and is this crazy fighter. He made a lot of critical errors and misjudgments. And you see that more so in the books than you do on the screen. So some of that stuff I really wanted to bring to life. I think it's important. I think it really kind of pulls the thread all the way through on some of these really important spiritual points, right? Because when you see Yoda in that way and you see this line about like suppressing, you know, like kind of intentionally forgetting an evil thing that has happened within the confines of the Jedi Order, like the stakes are much higher and feel real. And I want that in there. The same thing with like Delilah Dawson's new book. I don't know if you guys read Rise of the Red Blade, but there were, and I saw a little bit of this online, but there was just, I thought she did again, a really, really good job with, organized religion. And again, this, I'm a guy who's very much like does organized religion. Right. So I don't want to be taken that that's where I work. But I think that she had some really, really beautiful and deep and poignant insights into, you know, how is a young person formed in these kind of traditions? So it was important to me to get those kind of things in there because they're just as important to my own experience of Star Wars as the stories. And then, yeah, like some of the expanded universe stuff. I mean, there's that one. I love the New Jedi Order, that series. Yeah, and I just, again, like the quote, I don't want to spoil it. And maybe this is what makes people buy the book, but there's like a section, like a monologue from Han Solo in that series that I just, again, like I read these, I don't know, like 20 years ago. But that line stuck in my head, and I don't even know where those books are anymore. So I had to Google that line to find it. It just comes from my own like reverence for these folks who've worked really hard to do the work of writing and dreaming and imagining, and Star Wars is more than just movies. You know, it, whatever your entry point is great and good for you. But I also want you to know, like, if you've done the work, like, I'm right there with you and I like applauding that work.
Yeah. No, there's it is great that you have such a wide breadth of references and you know things that you're pulling from across the Star Wars cornucopia of stories, shall we say. Because it does make it, you know, nice and accessible and identifiable for anybody who's maybe just seen the movies or someone who prefers to read the books over watching the animated series or whatever the case may be. You know, so it having, you know, all those little nuggets pulled from hither, thither and yon across Star Wars, I can imagine will play very well with people who decide to pick up the book. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what you have in there and to dive into the lessons and the stories that you highlight. So,
yeah, I mean, I hope you like it in the end. Then once you actually get into it, you read it, you're like, wait, this isn't any good. But I want people to, as they're going through it and I have those like little Easter eggs, I want people, like, it's almost like a tip of the hat, you know, like if you get that, good for you. And if you don't, like, I don't think I've written it. I mean, Carl, you can disagree, but I don't think I've written it in such a way that if you haven't read, you know, X book or seen X episode, like, you're going to be like, all right, well, I understand the point, and I just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. Yeah, everything you bring in, it's done in such a way that it, even if you've not read that particular piece or not seen that particular show, it's not like you're lost in the dark. Yeah, totally on board with that. Something else I really appreciate as well is the way you end every chapter. Essentially giving us the examine, but the Star Wars version of it. So for, again, folks, if you're not familiar with Ignatian spirituality, another great, tool almost that Ignatius came up with was something known as the examine prayer. And it's essentially something to use at the end of every day to essentially look back on your day and pay attention to what filled you with joy and excitement that day. What, you know, And how did you encounter God there? And then what were the things where you left feeling desolate and kind of cut off or lonely? And you know, what was going on there? So it's kind of this opportunity at the end of every day to look back and, again, find God in all things, right? And you give us that opportunity at the end of every chapter. You essentially, right as I read the first one, I'm like, oh, Eric, that's the examine, buddy. But you cultivated. No, like, I mean, it's awesome. Years ago, I created my own Decades of the Rosary based on Star Wars scenes. I never did anything with it, but
let's get those back out.
yeah, for the four people that'd be interested, but
we're all here, I think.
I'm just curious, you know, what was the thought process behind wanting to do that? Again, like as a reader, and you know. Again, with somebody who's been very, very involved with Ignatian spirituality for much of my life, you know, this was such a vernacular for me. But even I feel like, and that's why I also am very excited for Jason to read the book as well, because I really want to get his perspective as someone who has not been raised in a, you know, a particularly Catholic setting, let alone Ignatian. So I'm curious there. But I love that you end each chapter with this opportunity to, I don't know, almost like there's an exercise involved, right? It's like, again, I'm feel like a jerk kind of tooting my own horn here, but when I first finished grad school, I taught high school theology for several years. And every Friday that I, in the classroom, I would always not teach anything, but I would introduce students to like a different like prayer form or meditation or do guided meditations or cool. Do music. And my impetus for that was, right, like, theology can't just be studying words on paper. Like, it has to be experienced and encountered. So that was kind of the opportunity. So at the end of every chapter, you give this opportunity for an encounter for the reader to use Star Wars to have an encounter with just the capital M mystery, right? Like, again, regardless, I don't think you're heavy-handed of, like, you need to believe in our Christian God. Like, I don't think that ever comes across in the work. But rather, it's this opportunity to at least just go a little bit deeper. So how did that come about, that element of kind of giving these practices?
Yeah, no, thank you. So I think in part the audience I'm thinking of for this book, right, is either folks that are really into Star Wars, but maybe are kind of seeking in general spiritually. And I want to offer a language. You know, again, you don't have to be baptized at the end of it, but I want to give you a way I'm thinking about it, and then encourage you to, you know, then form your own thoughts. Like, don't take mine, form your own thoughts. So that was one route I was thinking, in which case I wanted to introduce people to principles of Ignatian spirituality, and typically principles that are not I mean Ignatian spirituality, Carl, like the exercises are pretty, like, pretty Jesus heavy, right? Mm-hmm. And intentionally so on Ignatius's part. That's not how I approach this book, right? I want you to be able to use, because I think the other beauty about Ignatian spirituality, and I've talked to a number of Jesuits who do this, you can be any religion or maybe even no religion and practice these spiritual principles. Mm-hmm. And that was the part of my mind that was like, okay, if people are engaged in Star Wars, they like the idea of kind of like the spirituality of it. They're not sold on kind of maybe a traditional religious practice or organized religion, but here are some tools that are cool. So that's one way in. So then learn some Ignatian stuff. The other way was the other direction, right? You're into Ignatian spirituality, you're into Christianity, and you want to kind of see it played out in a different sphere. You guys are like the middle. You're going from both directions, which is awesome. Because I mean, that's obviously where I came from too. And so fun to meet folks that are like me. So that was kind of like the one perspective on this. The other was, so my other book, on Ignatian spirituality and storytelling, at the end of each chapter, I did a whole kind of like guided reflection, like almost like you're going to, you know, here's a little bit of scripture, here's kind of a grace you're asking for, meditation questions, journaling questions, closing prayer, like the whole shebang, right? Each chapter, so like 12 or how many chapters in that book. And I thought, being someone who like reads these books, being like, people are going to skip these, like this is like a waste of space. And I remember my wife reading through an earlier draft and her being like, why are you wasting paper with this? Like, no one's going to do these. And I was like, all right, well, but the publisher wants them, so they have to be done. And then when the book came out, folks were ecstatic about that. That was like the highlight. They were like, yeah, the words are cool, but like this process that we're going to be able to bring ourselves to and experience, I think, as you very wisely said, like, you know, it's not about like just like learning the stuff. It's about doing it. It's a practice. The word practice is key. That was a big win. And so when I began this book, I was like, well, that form isn't going to work because my kind of like approach to this book is not the same as that book. That book is much, much more heavier on kind of the just kind of center of the road Christianity and Ignatian spirituality. So I was like, how can I have the same effect without, but using different tools? And so the examine was the way, because I think, what is the examine? Like you said, you're going through your day with two important dispositions, gratitude and trust, and I think we all, this doesn't matter your spiritual background, your faith background, developing the disposition of trust and gratitude as you're examining yourself working in the world is so important. And so that's the whole point. And I, again, because each chapter, you know, I'm really, you know, I just felt kind of like excited about different themes in the Star Wars world. You know, each of the chapters ends with it kind of has a different bent. But as you'll see, some of the words are the same because it's meant to be repetitive. It's meant to be almost like a mantra of sorts. And then you're meant to write your own mantra in each one. So, but it was fun. They're fun to do. Hopefully they're fun to pray with too.
This is the way.
Yeah, yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Is there, you know, it, as you were, you know, compiling all the various lessons in spirituality and with the examples that you were, you know, bringing together for this book, is there something, a lesson or something that you, you know, were either learning about or dealing with that you wanted to put in here, but you couldn't find anything Star Wars to illustrate that with? Is there something that you would like Star Wars to give us a spin on that's out there?
I didn't think that's where you're going to go with this question. That's interesting. I had a different answer prepared. No, I would say no. And I would say not because like Star Wars hits everything. I would say because I really, really like kind of like quote unquote stayed with the text. You know, I let the text kind of, this text being Star Wars, speak to me. And then and that's how I then responded based on like what I thought needed to be written. I think again, for that, if the, like the mission of the book is like, I want folks that love Star Wars to deepen their own spiritual journeys, regardless of what that journey is. It was important to do that, to approach it that way. Now I've written things since the book has been published, or at least been out, where I've been like, oh man, like that was a theme that I could have unpacked, you know, like I didn't do anything with Rey in the cave, like Rey in the mirror. I was like, that was a missed opportunity. That's the magus, right, in a lot of ways, right? To use more Ignatian terminology. I'm working on something I'm going to present this week on belonging, and I was like, oh, there were some more things I could have pulled, threads I could have pulled there. So there's more. Like I could probably do more with this theme, which is exciting, right? Because it's, you know, and I think I was hearing like the accolade is supposed to be very spiritual.
So there's an episode 2 of this book series.
Someone wants to, someone will pay me to do it. Absolutely. I'm maybe publish it. I guess that's all I need. Yeah. So buy this book a lot. Everyone needs to buy and review this book so that I am empowered to write another one.
Oh man. That's the great thing about the fact that we're still getting, you know, all this new content out there, is that there's just so much more out there that you can learn from or you know, recognize and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm very curious to see, you know, what else is out there that we don't even know about, or you know, sometimes it just takes looking at something a different way for something to pop up. And I'm hoping there's some of that in this book when I do get a chance to read it. So
I hope so too.
Yeah.
After all this buildup.
So Eric, I kind of have, this is sort of a big question in the sense of like, it's just a question, but the question is simple in the sense of, you know, what is your hope that people take away from this, right? Like for folks that sit down and read this book, what is your hope? And again, I know that's very subjective, right? I mean, I know all creators always like, oh, you know, you make your own meaning out of things and all that, but I mean, you made the decision to sit down to write this book, and obviously you had somebody who's going to publish it, but at the same time, there's an intentionality behind it. So what is your hope for anybody who sits down and reads this for the first time?
Yeah, I think on kind of a very like basic level, I want people to learn more about Ignatian spirituality, which, and I hope it's helpful for them. And I hope that people kind of going that direction, going the other direction, I want people to love Star Wars and like be introduced to stories and like, you know, other Star Wars texts that they maybe never have thought of before. But I think more importantly, and this is, I think, actually bigger than just this book, like kind of like my own like writing project, the beginning, the inscription dedication is to my daughters. It says, may you never forget what luminous beings you are. And that came to me, I don't know, at the airport. I was like, oh, that sounds cute. I should write that down. but I think I agree with myself. I think that is cute. But I think that more importantly, I think that's like, that's the thing, right? I think that's the, what we all need to hear. Like, because I think I was saying this, I don't know, the other day, like, I don't think any of us are bad at like beating ourselves up or like being like, oh, like you're not good enough. Like, I think we're all pretty good at that. But I think what we're not good at, what we could use more of, is like, oh no, Ant, you're doing good. You're enough. You're a luminous being. You know, the light is from inside the house, you know, in some ways. And that's where God already is present. And so there's a couple chapters in there on like woundedness and caves, like a dark side cave. But like the idea of needing to leave those caves. And those were some that I was really excited to write, and particularly the chapter on wounds is one that people have seems to have resonated with a lot of at least early readers, because again, I think that, I don't know, I think sometimes we just have to be told like, hey, you know what, you're doing good. You're doing a great job being you. Just keep doing more of that. And like that's where the luminosity comes in. So I hope people feel that way when they read the book. I hope they feel affirmed. You know, Star Wars, Ignatian spirituality aside, I hope that's a takeaway. But then, like, you know, whatever they do next, whatever they read next, can kind of further that particular journey.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me, as you're just saying that, that reminds me of the scene in the second episode of Ahsoka when Ahsoka is talking to Hera, or not Ahsoka, Sabine is talking to Hera, and she's like, oh, you know, first thing I do go sideways. And Hera says to her, like, you're doing a great job. And Sabine says something along the effects of like,
great job of messing up or something like that.
Yeah. But Hera just affirms her. She's like, I am, you know, no, I'm telling you that because you need to hear that. Right. So, message of like, we need to be reminded that, like in that moment, like Sabine is still just kind of stuck in this rigidness of like, oh man, like I'm a screw up. I messed up. Like, you know, I still haven't found Ezra. Like I screwed this thing up. And then Hera's there, the reminder of like, no, you're doing good. Like you're doing great. Like, right. We need those Heras. So I love that. That's kind of an intentionality in your book here.
Yeah. I think we even need those Hu Yangs, you know, who tell us that we are actually factually the worst ever, but still begin again because we're still, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of kidding because that's kind of the opposite of my point. Right. But that's why I have in my ear constantly is being like, you're the worst we've ever seen, but the invitation to constantly begin again, I think is one we can, it really take to heart, right. You know, luminous beings begin again. Like that's the mantra.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
There's
some great mantras in Star Wars. One of my favorites is "I'm one with the Force and the Force is with me."
Yeah.
Well, that certainly gets some love in your book.
That does get some love in the book. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, Chirrut's my favorite from Rogue One. Just going to put that out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously that's the correct answer. What's the other answer? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Two tubes? No. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, Eric, first off, like, again, thank you for writing the book. I think it's just incredible in and of itself. And before we wrap up our conversation here, I thought it'd be fun just to take a couple of minutes for each of us kind of round robin style it here, just to share some of our favorite, spiritual lessons from Star Wars. And it'd be easy to make an exhausting list of this. So, you know, I told Jason, like, just think of a couple. And I'm also just thinking, like, just 2 weeks ago, we did a top five Yoda quotes episode. So, like, that episode in and of itself was inherently kind of just baked into it was kind of spiritual lessons. So as I was making my list down, I was like, no, Carl, you just talked about these 2 weeks ago. Think of something else. But to that end, you know, Jason, what is a spiritual lesson in Star Wars that is stuck with you and that means a lot to you?
Well, one of the ones that when I was preparing for all this, like, sort of popped into my head, and I was like, oh, right. Yes. That is definitely something I've put into practice and something that I've taken away, you know, from, you know, Star Wars and scripture, is often the best time to pray or to meditate, whatever it is that you do, is in the middle of your battle, whatever battle that is you're facing. And, you know, the illustration that pops into mind, obviously, is Qui-Gon, when the ray shields close between him and Darth Maul. And, you know, Maul is feral and pacing back and forth, and Qui-Gon just takes the time to meditate and to center himself, and all of that. And it's, you know, Obi-Wan, even, you know, the other good guy in the situation is also just like on edge, and, you know, he's, you know, nervous and on all this, but Qui-Gon stands apart from all of that, is sort of a center of calm and devotion in the midst of all the chaos that's going on. So that's definitely one of those lessons that's like, it's a good reminder. Hey, you know, when things are crazy, sometimes the best thing to do is to stop and pray or meditate or whatever it is that you do. So that's definitely one of the big ones I've taken away.
I love that, Jason. That's nice. So cool.
Great image. Yeah.
Yeah. What's one you, I mean, obviously, Eric, you have a book full of them, but
yeah, buy the book and find out.
Yeah. So Eric, you can't answer this. People have to go buy your book.
I got one.
Yeah.
So there was one scene, I mean, there's a bunch of, we said, but, back to Obi-Wan Kenobi, the TV show, that scene where Vader and they have the final showdown, right? And Vader thinks he's defeated him, and then Obi-Wan lifts the rocks or whatever, and he's back. The line that Vader says, your strength has returned, but the weakness remains. I love that line. And this is a story I tell. And at this point, I don't remember what actually happened. So this might be partially like legend. My wife, I think, walks to the room at that moment, hears that line. She's like, oh, that's a really good line. Now she's a trauma therapist. And she's like, that line, that affirmation of strength with weakness, that wholeness of ourself is what we bring to address whatever the problem is, the challenge, the evil. And I never see that without hearing her take. But I think that's really important because it gets back to that kind of the making, healing the wounds, repairing the wounds and making it, bringing them all into ourselves. And again, the idea of like, to fast forward for him, Obi-Wan and Maul meet again. And Maul says, he's a rat in the desert. Look what you have become. And Obi-Wan says, look what I've risen above. Mm-hmm. And I think what he has risen above can only be understood in the lens of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. So that's mm-hmm. what I think that, again, it goes back to that, like, oh, we are enough. We can do it. We can do it today because we don't have to eradicate the weaknesses. We have to, give him a hug and bring him on board and then keep going and go throw some rocks at Vader.
Yeah. And it's great because if you are, like us and you study the Bible, God uses all sorts of people because of their weaknesses, mm-hmm. too. So it's great.
God also throws rocks at bad guys. So
that's also true.
Yeah.
real twofer there.
Oh yeah.
What about you, Carl?
Well, I was thinking of, and I left it off the list a couple of weeks ago, but I really wanted to include this because of the fact that we had you on, Eric. But one of my favorite ones is, and you also have a take on this particular quote in your book, but it's Yoda's line to Luke of, is the dark side strong? Not that part, but when he says, how will I know the good side from the bad? Mm-hmm. You will know when you are calm, at peace, passive. Years ago, when in between my 2 years of grad school at BC, I did a program where I lived with a Jesuit community in Chicago, discerning becoming a Jesuit and entering the novitiate after grad school. And I remember there was a new vocation director for the New England province who came out to meet me because I was the only one from the New England province out there. And he was asking me all of these questions to see if I was ready to start the novitiate. But his questions just pissed me off and made me anxious. And like, I just didn't like the guy. I'm sure he's a lovely person, but I didn't like him. And I thought he was really bad at being a vocation director. And I went to one of the younger Jesuits who was leading the program. And I was like, I thought I was like, I was feeling pretty ready. And then he started talking to me and now I'm just confused and angry. And he said to me, he's like, well, like pay attention to that, Carl, like the decision will be true for you when you feel at peace with it. And I was like, I just smiled at him and he goes, what? And I go, you sound like Yoda. He goes, what do you mean? So I told him this line. Right. And I think that line has always been important to me entering into big life decisions is, when you're unclear about things, it's just waiting for that calmness to come to you. Right. It's never like a, yes, this is a period at the end of the sentence. This is your set in stone decision for the rest of your life. But rather it's just, no, this feels right to me now. And what ended up feeling right to me was not going into novitiate, right? Like that was what felt most true and authentic to me. But that line from Yoda is, I think, so much of your book deals with discernment because that's a huge part of Ignatian spirituality. But I think Yoda gives us a really, really simple approach to discernment, which is when you're making decisions, big or small, the right decision is the one that leaves you feeling calm and at peace. So that's definitely a big one for me.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's a great, again, that's like a good, lived example of that story, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I got to tell this one with Eric coming on. So,
yeah, well, I mean, Ignatius, right? Ignatius Spirituality, he says, like, you don't make big decisions in terms of in moments of turmoil. You have to find consolation before you make those decisions, because of course, when you're feeling like angry and pissed, you want to get out of that moment. Yeah. But are you then walking in the right direction? And that's a big Ignatian discernment quandary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go one more round around here and share maybe one more each. So Jason, give us one more lesson for you.
I think one of the things that is great to see across, you know, all sorts of characters and examples in Star Wars is that there's always more of God or the Force to learn or to expand your understanding of it. To go in deeper, you know, obviously we get Yoda after the prequels. He goes into seclusion and he, you know, there is a change in the way that he applies himself and the way that he views the Force between the prequels and the original trilogy. You know, we get it with Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, obviously you've already mentioned, Eric, some of the stuff he goes through in Kenobi. And we get it with Luke, even in The Last Jedi. You know, he is the Jedi Master, but he still has to learn from Yoda when Yoda comes and appears to him in the Force after Rey has left Octo. So, you know, there is always something else. You can never be so high. You can never be so enlightened that you can't continue to find new things to deepen your understanding or new ways to look at things or new things to learn that you haven't considered before. So I think being aware and open to the new and to the possibilities of going deeper is it's scary. It definitely can be scary sometimes, but it's also exciting. And I think that aspect of spirituality I think is highlighted very well in Star Wars. So
yeah. Eric, you want to give us one more?
I think it's just like an easy one. I think that Qui-Gon's line, right? Your focus determines your reality. I think it feels like it could be a throwaway line, or it feels like kind of like existential in a way that is like unrelated to our everyday living. But the more I just think about my own, like, where am I putting my attention? You know, am I putting my attention like constantly like refreshing my phone? Yeah. And then I have a headache and I'm like bitter at the end of the day, you know? And so the reality I've focused on is not, you know, I did that. That's on me. You know, so I think that's a very tangible, tactile, spiritual discipline of like, where is my focus? And what kind of reality does it then result in? And then that gets the bigger questions, right? Of justice and, you know, compassion and, you know, just how we treat one another. Because, you know, what we focus on in relationship is also, you know, builds community and builds society. And I think, you know, it quickly goes from like, kind of like a fancy sounding line from Qui-Gon to like actually exactly how we have to live or we, you know, we live together or we, I'm not gonna say die alone because that sounds so, live together, die alone, but like we, you know, we focus on building something or we focus on ourselves and then nothing comes of it. Right. So, yeah.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
That's great. We are definitely big fans of that line of Qui-Gons around here. So
yeah.
What about you, Carl? What's the last one you want to hit us with?
Yeah, and thanks to your book, Eric. You know, I've been thinking about Ahsoka so much more in depth. Ahsoka has definitely been my favorite of the new Disney stuff. Besides Solo, I think Ahsoka is my favorite Disney entry into Star Wars. But the thing that's been sticking with me a lot is, it's essentially Ahsoka's cave experience in the world between worlds, right? It serves the same purpose. But it's the line Anakin says to young Ahsoka when he says, "We must adjust to the times," right? He's explaining the type of Jedi he was training her to be. Right. There is, I don't know, maybe there can be a little bit of pushback of like, well, are Jedi supposed to be warriors? But at the same time, I love this lesson, of Anakin's, which is, And I think it's an important one for religious leaders, is we have to adjust to the times, right? And I think that's what I love about your book, Eric, is you're taking these, you know, these principles and this spirituality from the 16th century and bringing it into the 21st, right? You're taking these old, deep spiritual truths and giving them a Star Wars veneer, right? You're adjusting to the times. You're teaching these old lessons in a new way. And I think that's a really important lesson to specifically people in, you know, leading faith communities in some capacities. We have to adjust to the times. We have to be willing to renegotiate what it means to be a religious leader. We have to renegotiate what it might even mean to be a Christian. You know, we have to adjust to the circumstances in which we find ourselves. I love that lesson. And again, I think your book does a great job of breathing truth into that, into the spirit of that lesson.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
So
that's a great insight.
So anyway, before we wrap this up, again, just thank you, Eric, for making time to come on. I know you're a busy person and you're obviously probably got lots of things going on with this new book coming out. So really appreciate you making the time to top on our show so quickly after it was published. So if folks want to, you know, follow along to any other adventures you're having or works you're putting out there, and explicitly, you know, how to pick up the book, we'll continue to share that information ourselves. But how can folks keep up with the Eric Clayton projects?
Yeah. So I have a website, ericclaytonwrites.com. That's a good place to start. I also have a Substack, just ericclayton.substack.com. It's called Story Scraps. I write something once a week, kind of at this intersection. A lot of Star Wars right now. I'm doing something all about kind of myth, the hero's journey, and Ignatian spirituality. Then I'm on all the socials at Eclatopia typically. But you can pick up a book anywhere you get your books. There's an audiobook version. You can contact me via my website. I'm always happy to chat.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, this has been a fantastic discussion, and Carl, if people want to weigh in on any of the conversation that we have had here, or share any of their experiences that they've had with Star Wars and spirituality, where can people get in contact with us?
Yeah, well, we are, most notably lately on Instagram at Wampa's Lair. You can also follow us on Twitter at Wampa's Lair, or shoot us an email at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. And any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we wrap this episode up?
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah.
This
was a blast. Our focus determined our reality.
It did. And we created a fantastic episode out of it. And with that, folks, we'll wrap up this episode. This has been episode number 548, My Life with the Jedi. For Carl and Eric, I'm Jason, and we'll see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.